This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Have you heard of cervical screening? What is it and who needs it? Kia ora, this is Katie Burns, Community Connector for MS Otago, coming to you with our monthly podcast, MS Momentum, where I chat about all things related to multiple sclerosis with people from organisations across Otago and beyond. Today I'm talking with Georgia Callan, a nurse and midwife working for the Southern Cervical Screening Team at the DHB. Thank you, Georgia, for joining me today and having a chat about what I think this is a really important topic. And I guess people might be listening and think, well, what's that got to do with MS? But MS affects three females to one male, generally speaking. And I often talk with my clients about just because you have MS doesn't exclude other things happening in your body, and it's so important that we think about healthcare as like a whole broad everything.
Absolutely.
Rather than just this is MS.
Kia ora, Katie. Thank you for inviting me along to speak today. Completely agree with everything you've said. Any person that has a cervix is important to us, and especially those people that potentially can't access the generic services that are provided within the community. As a team at Southern, we're here to break those barriers and to make sure that everyone has equal access to healthcare. And cervical screening is really important because we're about screening, we're about preventative medicine. So we're about preventing things before they happen. And with new testing, we can pick that up and, yeah, take care of what we need to take care of.
Yeah, perfect. So before we get a little bit more into, I guess, what cervical screening is and why it's important, what led you to your current role? I know you've been a nurse for a long time.
I have.
And so I imagine we all have different paths we weave that lead us to where we are today. So yeah. I always find that really interesting.
So I'm a nurse and a midwife, currently just practicing in my nursing role. I grew up in Wellington and actually ended up in intensive care in my seventh form year with an asthma attack. And at that stage, all I wanted to be was All Black physio. I knew medicine was my track, but yeah. And then honestly, it was just through the guidance and care of an amazing team that I thought, actually, no, I think I want to join medicine and be a nurse. So, yeah, trained in Wellington, then went over to the UK, worked for the NHS for about 15 years, and that's where I did my maternity as well, and then came back, worked in Wellington, and have been down here in Dunedin for about 7 years. So, yeah, and then I, prior to this job and role that I'm in now, I was working for Plunkett, so I sort of merged my two passions together and then got to a point and I thought, actually, I want back in at the DHB and specifically into women's health, and this role, along with the cervical screening and sexual health role, came up and I thought, oh, that's perfect for me. I had a baby at the time as well, so just those nice stable hours were really good.
Yeah.
Then I dropped the sexual health side to focus on cervical screening, where I've really, yeah, loved what I do. Have a fantastic team that I work with, and just working with Well South as well along the side, and all the GP practices. It's been just really awesome. Awesome role. Yeah.
Yeah, and your role, we were talking a little bit before the show, and yes, role sounds huge.
Rather large, yeah.
Like a lot of us. So what does your role entail in terms of like the day-to-day?
Day-to-day. So that's a really good question. No day is the same, to be honest with you. So as a service, we're here to provide support for our participants on the National Cervical Screening Program, and that is every person with a cervix within our region. So Vanessa is my counterpart, and she works down in Dunedin, down at Invercargill, and she is the same nurse position that I have up here. So together we cover We cover the whole of Otago, southern and central. So as geographically, we have the largest land mass. Population-wise, not quite so much as the North Island. Mm-hmm. So we also have a register team as well. So they tap away on the computer, keep everything up to date and answer all the questions that come through from the nurses, from general practice and some of the doctors as well. So it is very varied, but our role really is predominantly to support general practice to get their people in to get screened. If they struggle to get them in or if they've got questions about screening, then they will ring us or email us. And so we are fielding a lot of that day to day. And then for the participants that can't get in who potentially work 9 to 5 and just can't get to a GP practice, we run a lot of out-of-hour clinics, which I have a team of nurses as well who are phenomenal, along with Livia, who I call my work wife. She is our health promoter. And together we create what we call Super Clinic. And, yeah, we offer free screening for a lot of participants, but outside the general practice hours, just to help support those GPs in the sense to get their participants screened.
That's fantastic. That, yeah. It's about removing those barriers, isn't it?
And last weekend, for example, we were up at Aituru Marae and they had a high order day.
Yes.
And we were a collaboration with Well South and it was a fantastic day.
Okay.
Offering screening, because a lot of the screening now has changed, so we could offer it there on the spot. So having open days like that is really about just breaking those barriers down and just letting people know that we are normal people. We're here to help you, and the barriers we just really want to get rid of.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And so I guess carrying on for that, what is it that people with a cervix need to know about cervical screening? I think maybe there's a lot of rumour or discomfort things like that out in the community.
Yeah.
For sure.
So the biggest thing to sort of plonk into our head to start with is that the screening program is for people who are 25 to 69 with a cervix. We don't screen younger than that because we obviously need to have a boundary, which we work to. People that don't have a cervix and potentially have had a hysterectomy, then they work on a different pathway and quite often they don't need to be screened. But again, that is something that the GP practice nurse and myself and Livia will come up with a pathway for those people. The other thing that people need to know about screening is it's all changed. A couple of years ago, we've now changed from everyone needing a pap smear or an internal cervical smear to an HPV self-swab. So that will be the first line and first option that over 80% of New Zealand people with cervixes will be offered. So it decreases that barrier because, like you said, historically, knowing that you need to go for an internal with someone that you potentially have never met before is really daunting for a lot of people. People may have had a bad experience or they've just heard along the grapevine that it's dreadful and they don't want to do it. So that really deters them from screening. So we have found that the uptake has been monumental since we've changed the pathway.
Oh, that's great news.
Yeah.
Because, I do think that was quite a barrier for people.
Yep. Huge barrier.
Yeah, because it's quite a big thing to, go and lay on the table.
And especially when it's your first your first encounter with a health professional at 25 and, you pop in and, next thing I'm saying, right, kits off, let's go. Whereas now it's very different. We have a quick chat. We want to make sure that there are specific things that aren't happening with you and your body at the time. So we run through those and if everything is no, then the self-test is a perfect choice for you. We explain how to do it. They then pop off to the toilet, do it themselves. You don't need to find a cervix. The cool thing is it only needs to go in 1 to 2 centimetres.
Mm-hmm.
When it doesn't need to go high. We're not finding a cervix. You pop it inside, you rub it around for 10 seconds, back in the container, and that's it. So very quick and self-directed. And it gives the woman back the power. to pop off and do it herself. And for some participants, they may have had a bit of a rough encounter along the way and they might be a little bit older and they're like, absolutely not keen. I still invite those people in to come and have a chat with me. Let me listen to your stories. Mm. Let me hear what's happened for you and let us work together to see how we can get you screened in a way that is comfortable for you. And for some people, they still choose to have an old school smear, and that is absolutely fine as well. That is no issues whatsoever. But the choice now is predominantly with the woman, as long as they sit within those, within that framework.
Yeah. And I think that's a really important thing, is having the choice. As long as you, as you say, as long as you sit within those parameters.
Yep.
I think having that choice is so important.
Absolutely.
In all aspects of healthcare, but especially in something that is very private and personal, and, you know, it can be quite daunting for people for lots of different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. We're just going to take a super quick air break and we'll be right back.
MS Otago aims to empower people with multiple sclerosis and their support networks by providing them with information and skills to participate actively in the community in ways that are meaningful to them. You can find us at Dunedin Community House and online at msotago.org.nz, or you can give us a call on 027 889 9035. MS Otago, working for the people of Otago.
If you are just joining us, this is MS Momentum. My name is Katie Burns and I'm the Community Connector for MS Otago. We are a monthly podcast talking about all things multiple sclerosis across Otago and beyond. And today I've been talking with Georgia Killen, who is a nurse for the Southern Cervical Screening Team at the DHB. And so before the break, we were talking about how Georgia came into her current role, and some of the really important things that people with a cervix need to know about cervical screening and how that's changed over the last couple of years. So, Georgia, I mean, again, like I just said, there's been a lot of changes, which has removed some of those barriers for people. But I imagine there's still some barriers to people accessing their screening. So what are some of the common barriers you might see?
So sort of three pop to mind. The first one being previous experiences, and a lot of the kōrero that's out there within the community just about, my mum had a really rough time, I don't want to do it, she's told me not to do it, or just misconceptions of what it's about.
Mm.
So what we are starting to find as well is within our LGBTQ community, vitally important that those people that might be transitioning from female to male are so incredibly important to me. They still have a cervix.
Mm.
They still need to be screened, and I can't stress that fact enough. So if there is you out there listening, please come forward and get screened. Again, it is a self-swab, so less invasive, self-directed, and it just means that we can look after you moving forward in your pathway. The other thing we find, people are really time poor, and that goes back to sort of, as we were talking about before, about opening different access clinics up. So quite often their GP service is a 9-to-5 service, and the new sort of poverty that we're seeing out there is people have to work.
Mm.
We might all look great in our jobs. We might be nurses, for example, who we get, you know, a nice salary. But if we don't work, our family doesn't. We're literally living paycheck to paycheck, and that is a lot of people these days.
Mm.
So from that, we've now snowballed, or we have been snowballing, different times and different days with our clinics. For example, this weekend, we have one at the DHB on Saturday, and it will run from 7 a.m. in the morning till 1 p.m, hoping that we get some of the night shifters that have finished from the hospital. We also proactively work with GP services for a list that they might have of people that haven't been able to get in.
Mm.
So we will contact those people and just let them know, hey, we're here, come on down, get screened for free. The other thing we find is access, and predominantly a lot of people that might be listening today might be unable to leave the house or need a lot of support to get to a GP service. And that's where our service comes in to help with that. So if you are someone that struggles to get out of the house, it may be for many, many reasons, or aren't sure about how to access, then by giving us a call on our 0800 number, or your practice nurse can contact me as well. You can also refer yourself to me. I can come round and do a home visit. We can sit down, we can talk what option is good for you. Or if you do want to go to your GP surgery, we also have other, for example, Well South support to screen services that can help to facilitate to get people into their GP for screening. So access is a huge issue. And we really try to remove it. We also have a home HPV service as well. So if what we have found is that people that live very rural don't get courier packages, and that's a problem because we courier. So I would get a referral. I would ring the participant up, have a quick chat with them. Then I would courier out the swab. They do it at home, and then it gets picked up and sent back to me. In town, fantastic option. So that's another option for people who might be listening today who think, I haven't been screened in a while, and this sounds like it could work for me. Completely free. So again, that's a self-referral to me. But if you do live rurally and think, I haven't been screened, then absolutely give us a call and we can work through that with you. So that works alongside the GP services as well. So we will do that on behalf of the GP, and then we inform the GP of the result. So yeah, access in many shapes and forms is probably one of our biggest barriers.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really, really love how you talk about, you know, like rural people who live rural or quite rurally, because I know, I mean, it's an issue even within our service. It's
for sure.
It's difficult to reach those people who live very rurally, and it's difficult for them to access services as well. Absolutely. And I just wanted to ask, because you're talking there about if someone thinks, oh, I can't remember the last time I was screened. Is there a way for them to find out when they were? Because I'm thinking, because is it every 3 years?
So it's every 5 years every now, but we're still in the crossover from the old register. Mm-hmm. So some people will still be on a 3-yearly recall, but about to come onto the 5. And if people have been screened within the last couple of years, they will be on the 5-year. So it is a bit muddy at the moment. So what people can do is they can call us on 0800 729 729. And that comes through to our Southern DHB team. And we can look you up on our system. We'll check a few details with you to make sure we've got the right participant. And then we can tell you when you're due screening or if you're not due screening. And we can go from there. And if people are struggling to get into a service, then we can offer different services at that time. Or if it's just for them to find out, you know, where they're up to. Because it's hard to remember. When you've got a busy life, you know, 3 years comes very quickly, or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and we can sort that out.
Yes, I just had that thought because I thought, I mean, I have very regular screening myself, but I was just thinking if it had been over 5 years since I'd had my screening, I think I'd have no idea.
Yeah.
If it had been 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, like you say, time goes so fast and there's a million other things on, I think, everybody's mind, especially at this time of year. We're coming up to Christmas and it's all busy and a bit hectic. So, that's great that there's somewhere they can go to find out that information for themselves. Absolutely.
Yep. And then I think the main thing just on that 3-5 year changeover is the fact we're actually looking for something a little bit different now. So we're looking for the HPV virus. Mm. And we know the HPV virus feeds cells. When those cells are fed, that's when they can turn into something that's going to grow over time. And when I say over time, we're talking 10 years plus, into something nasty. So if we can pick that way before it happens, then we can eliminate it, we can treat it, we can do a lot more. So now we're specifically looking for the HPV, and we know that it's on a life cycle, and it is like a common cold virus for the tract.
Okay.
So if we can, a lot of women can dull it down. Over 80% will not need smears. With the testing. So by specifically looking for one part, we know that it's safe to put people on a 5-year recall.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. I tell you, science.
Yeah.
It's moved so far.
I know. I mean, even in the MS world, in the last 20 years, absolutely amazing advances have happened just in MS, you know, and I think if you extrapolate that out to all the other conditions and things that exist within the human body and the human race, that it's really amazing how far science has come.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. And I guess there might be people listening to this who don't have a cervix themselves, mm-hmm. but care about other people who do.
Yes.
And are maybe worried that they haven't been screened mm-hmm. or want to encourage their loved ones to go and get screened.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you offer to those people?
Again, it's word of mouth, isn't it? It really is. So I sort of encourage people, if I quite often say when I've had an encounter with someone, I'm like, please go out and tell people about how easy it was to self-swab, how easy the process was to come down and sit and have a nice, normal chat with me for 10 minutes before you pop off to the toilet. That word of mouth, and we just can't pay for coverage like that.
Yeah.
So, and I think that is going to be the turning point of getting more people engaged with screening. So if you are sitting out there and you think, yep, I've just been and had my cervical screen, in your tea room, talk to your girlfriend sitting there, you know, people that you know that have a cervix, and just say how easy it was. Mm. We do advertise on Facebook with our DHB clinics, and anyone can ring their GP practice nurse, and just if on their systems, they should be able to bring up when you're next due. But yeah, it is word of mouth is a really, really big thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But again, ringing the 0800 number. If you're not sure or just want to see when our next clinics are or how we can outreach, if someone was concerned about someone else, then, you know, who knows what we could do.
Yeah.
But yeah, we can definitely help support and break those barriers down with getting people into screening.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
The other thing I did want to just touch on was the HPV vaccine.
I was going to ask about that as well, yes. Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, so the statistics aren't so great down here in Southern. Yeah, we've got, I think it was less than 10% of males under 27 who are vaccinated, and females it's about 35%, I think, or maybe a little bit higher, maybe 55%. We really need to work on that. That's how we are going to eradicate cervical cancer.
Mm.
So the HPV virus is the virus that feeds the cells, which then change. So here in Dunedin, we do offer a school-based immunisation program. But for those people who are out of school and are not sure whether they've been vaccinated, we can check on that for them on their behalf. Again, you can call us. We work in the office with the immunisation team, so we can have a look on the register. Yeah. Now, if you're under 27... the vaccination is still free.
Great.
And I can't stress enough for people to come forward. So anyone who is 25 who comes into contact with me, with my team, with screening, we will ask them whether they've had the vaccine. If they haven't, then we can help facilitate that and let them know where to get it done. The quicker they jump on it, the quicker it is going to help to dull the HPV down in their body.
Mm.
Everyone gets HPV. It's through skin-to-skin contact. Everyone gets it.
Yes.
So if we can dull it down with the vaccine, then over time it's not going to bubble away into something worse.
Yes. And sorry, just to clarify, so the HPV vaccine is now for males and females.
Yes,
it
is. I
remember when it first came out, it was just for females.
That's right.
And I know from talking with people that there's still a lot of
misunderstanding sure.
out there that it's still only for
That's
females,
right.
but
no.
it is for both males and
Absolutely.
Females.
Yes. Technically, HPV is a sexually transmitted disease. And with sexual skin-to-skin contact, that's how we get it. So we need both parties to have been vaccinated so it doesn't trickle on. Men are also exposed to different types of cancer that could be penile, throat, and anal, and we are seeing those statistics rise in New Zealand because we're not getting our males vaccinated enough.
Right.
So as a job lot, I suppose, if we got everyone vaccinated, it would do me out of a job because we wouldn't need cervical screening. There'd be no cervical cancer. But that is, yeah, That's a real push.
Cultural change, isn't it? Yeah. And I guess it's the same thing in terms of what we're talking about before, and like the word of mouth and screening and that kind of stuff. It creating that cultural change, which does take a long time.
It does,
because you will still have different ideas in the community and.
Yeah, and everyone's entitled to their opinion, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's their body, their choice.
Yeah.
I think as long as people are informed and they can make an informed choice for their body, that's the most important thing.
Absolutely.
And any healthcare provider, so any GP service, a sexual health service, and also there are outreach clinics as well, will give HPV vaccines. And we do find with the uni crew, a lot of them are trickling through thinking, oh gosh, I haven't been vaccinated, and we can get that all sorted. So 27 and under, so you can be 26 the day before your 27th birthday. If you have your first vaccine then, the rest of them will be free.
Okay, great. Fantastic. We are unfortunately out of time. Just before we finish up, I know before you said an 0800 number that people can contact.
Yep.
So I just wanted to go over that again so people have the correct number.
So that's 0800 729 729, and that will come through to the Southern DHB cervical screening team.
Perfect.
And then we also have an email as well, which is cervical.screening@southerndhb.govt.nz.
Perfect. That's great. And I will pop that in our newsletter once this podcast goes to air as well, just so people have got access to it. So thank you so much for chatting with me today. It's been really, really interesting and what I think is a really important topic.
Absolutely, yeah. And thank you for having me. And like I said, if anyone needs screening, reach out. We will break those barriers.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Georgia. And this is our last podcast for the year. So I just want to wish all our wonderful listeners out there a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And we will be back with you in January with a new podcast. You've been listening to MS Momentum, brought to you on the third Wednesday of the month by me, Katie Burns, Community Connector for MS Otago. You can listen again to this episode and find other podcasts from this series at oar.org.nz and on your favourite podcast platforms. To contact MS Otago, you can email info@msotago.org.nz or call us on 027 889 9035. Thanks for listening.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.